2 Samuel chapter 23, the last words of David. David the son of Jesse was the man made great by God, whom the God of Jacob chose to be king, and who was the sweet psalmist of Israel. And these are the last words of David. So then, again, the emphasis on the fact that God made David great. We should never think that anything we might appear to achieve in life, be it passing exams, be it being successful in life, having a family, that any of this really is in our own strength. It is all from God. It is all of grace. So David said, "The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His message is on my lips." Now this is the idea of inspiration, whereby people speak God's word because God's Spirit is in them. And so because of that, God's Spirit was in David, and therefore the words that he spoke were God's words. And he said, "The God of Israel has spoken. The guardian of Israel said to me, 'The king who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. He will be like the sun arising on a dawn that has no clouds, like the sun that makes the grass to shine after the rain.' That is how God is going to bless my seed, because he has made an eternal covenant with me, a covenant that will not be broken." Now, a covenant is a set of promises. These are the promises that he would have a seed, who would be Jesus, who would be king forever on his throne. And the angel appeared to Mary and said that this applied to Jesus. "This," he said, "is all my desire, and God will bring it about." So his hope, his desire was for the kingdom of God and for the coming of this seed that he'd been promised. And it says that God would be his father and he should be, that David would be his father and he would also be the son of God. And so that was going to work out through a descendant of David, that's Mary, becoming pregnant with a child that was in fact the child of God. And that's just what happened through the work of the Holy Spirit, because Joseph was not the real father of Jesus. "But the ungodly will be like thorns that are just burnt up and thrown away. Nobody can touch them with bare hands, but you must use some kind of iron tool. They will be burnt up completely." So the Bible doesn't teach that the wicked get burnt up in fire forever and tormented. What it teaches is total destruction. The wages of sin is death. And so the figure of being burnt to destruction means that it goes back to dust. If you burn something completely, it goes to dust. It's not eternal torture and torment, being in a flame that goes on forever, but it rather represents just total destruction. These are the names of David's mighty men. The first was Joshabeash from Tachimon, who was the leader of the three. He fought with his spear against 800 men and killed them all in one battle. The second of the famous amongst the three was Eleazar of the clan of Acho. One day he and David challenged the Philistines who had gathered for battle. The other Israelites fell back, but he stood his ground and fought the Philistines until his hand was so stiff that he couldn't let go of his own sword. And the Lord won a great victory that day. And when it was over, the Israelites returned and stripped the armor from off the dead. So the other Israelites fell back, but he held his ground. And this is a feature of all God's true children, that they serve God even when the others in the people of God don't do this. And this is what happened with Daniel, that the other young Jewish people who were in exile, they drunk the king's wine, ate the king's meat, but Daniel dared to be different. And that difference is not simply between us and the world. It is often between us and others who may call themselves Christian. The third of the famous three was Shammah from Harar. The Philistines gathered at Lehi, where there was a field of lentils. The Israelites fled from the Philistines, so you have this theme again, that the people of God didn't have faith and they ran away from their enemies, and God said, "It's only if you're disobedient to me that you will turn your backs on your enemies and flee from them." So the Israelites fled from the Philistines, but Shammah stood his ground in the field and killed the Philistines, and the Lord won a great victory that day. So again, you see how even when the majority are not obedient to God's covenant, you still can be faithful. And then there was another time at harvest time. 3 of the 30 went to the cave of Adullam where David was, while the Philistines were camping in the valley of Rephaim. At that time, David was on a strong hill, and a group of Philistines had occupied Bethlehem. That's his hometown. David was so sad about this and said, "How I wish that I could drink of water from the well that is by the gate at Bethlehem." So he was a bit sentimental for that water from that well by the gate at Bethlehem. And the 3 famous soldiers forced their way through the Philistine camp, drew water from the well and brought it back to David. But he wouldn't drink it. Instead, he poured it out to the Lord. He said, "Lord, I could not drink this because it would be as if I were drinking the blood of those men who got it by risking their lives." So he refused to drink it. Joab's brother Abishai, the son of the woman called Zeruiah, was the leader of these famous 30. He fought with his spear against 300 men and killed them and became famous among the 30. He was the most famous of the 30 and became their leader, but not as famous as the 3. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada from Kabzeel, was another famous warrior. He did many brave deeds. He killed 2 great Moabite warriors, and once he went into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. He also killed an Egyptian, a gigantic man who had a spear. Benaiah attacked him just with a club, snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with it. These were the brave deeds of Benaiah. He was outstanding among the 30, but was not as famous as the 3, and David put him in charge of his bodyguard. So, all these victories that these men won, when it was basically one man against a whole load of other people, were inspired, I'm sure, by what David did against Goliath. They realized that this was what was possible for those who believe in God, and that God would really give the victory. And this is how we should be with Jesus. That we look at him, he who had our nature, and we should accept that really it's possible to be as he was in many parts of our lives. Other members of the 30, the mighty men, included Asahel, brother of Joab, Elhanan, son of Dodo from Bethlehem. He was probably someone who grew up with David in Bethlehem. Bethlehem would have been no more than a village. Shammah and Elika from Harod, Helez from Pelet, Ira from Tekoa, Abiezer from Anathoth, Mebunai from Hushal, Zalmon from Acho, Maharai from Netopha, Heleb from Netopha, Ittai from Gibeah in Benjamin. Now that is, of course, where Saul was from, Gibeah in Benjamin. So somebody who had known Saul decided to be one of the mighty men of David. So it wasn't just on the basis of sort of friendship and all that, and which tribe you came from. These were people who were convicted on a personal level that David had God with him and they wanted to fight for him. Benaiah from Pirathon, Hiddai from the valleys of Gash, Abielbon from Araba, Asmaveth from Bahurim, Eliaba from Shalbon, the sons of Jashem, Jonathan, Shammah from Harar, Ahiam from Harar, Eliphelet from Maacah, Eliam, son of Ahithophel from Gilo. Now Eliam would have been the father of Bathsheba. So you see how not only Uriah was one of the mighty men, but also Bathsheba's father. Hezro from Carmel, Parai from Arab, Egal from Zobah, Barnai from Gad, Zelek from Ammon. They were the enemies of Israel. So you see, there were some people, even Philistines, who repented and became some of David's most faithful friends. And that is the power of the gospel, to change people's lives completely around. Maharai from Beeroth, Ira and Galad from Jatir, and Uriah the Hittite. So how awful that Uriah had been one of David's mighty men, one of his most faithful warriors, and yet David arranged for him to be killed just because he took a fancy to his wife. Just one evening, he went too far, didn't control himself, and it's setting course, events and decisions that led to Uriah being killed. And of course, this would have broken up the fellowship between David and many of these people. For example, this Eliam, son of Ahithophel from Gilo. Well, yeah, that was Bathsheba's father. He wouldn't have thought much of it. Ahithophel, her grandfather, we know, didn't think much of it. So this is what happens in sin, that it breaks up relationships and families. And yet, you know, God worked through all that, and God did forgive David, and we look forward to seeing him and Uriah in the kingdom.